Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And I think that that is a special achievement. And that's why I don't think that, you know, there's a lot of, and I know the word interfaith makes some people nervous. So I won't use the word interfaith, all right? but a lot of people think that religion is a hindrance to societal cohesion.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of United We Fall. And this was Imam Omar Sleeman in his dialogue, which took place in North Carolina University with Pastor J.D. Greer. Imam Omar Sleeman is lighting up. He's opening his heart. He's sharing what he has on his mind with his audience. He's telling us, once again, as we covered in our last broadcast, I don't think that there is a lot of, and then he hesitated. A lot of what? He didn't tell us. I believe he was about to say a lot of differences between Islam and Christianity. And the proof that is exactly what he meant if you listen carefully to the following sentence. When he said, I know the word interfaith makes a lot of people nervous. What is interfaith? When Muslims and Jews and Christians and atheists and agnostics and others all sit together holding hands and sing the Kumbaya song. Why? Because they all, those who attend these interfaith meetings, believe that we're all on the right track. You are right and I am right, she is right and he is right, everybody is right. Because there's no much differences. After all, we believe in a creator. What's his name? It doesn't make any difference. What he wants us to do, it doesn't make any difference. What is the difference between your belief and his belief and her belief and my belief? It doesn't make any difference. Why? Because we don't talk about that in the interfaith meeting. I remember one time we crashed one of these interfaith meetings. You can go and watch the entire video. It's available on our website. It's available on the internet under Usama Dakdak and Orlando interfaith meeting. And surprise, surprise, we learned from that meeting that when people go in the interfaith meetings, they pray quietly. They will not speak their prayer out loud. Because if you pray out loud, then the other people will discover that your prayer is not like the way they pray. And that will make a difference. No, Imam Omar Sleeman believed that there is a lot of, and you feel the plank there, a lot of differences between our beliefs and his beliefs. And by the way, people are not nervous when they hear the word interfaith. It is the conservative Christians, the one who knows the truth that Christianity is the only faith and everything else is a cult. Especially the more you know about Islam, the more you know for sure that there is no truth whatsoever in any of the beliefs of Islam. As a matter of fact, Islam is not a set of beliefs, it's a set of things to do. And the best thing you can ever do as a Muslim is to die for the sake of Allah while you are performing jihad. As you get rid of the Christians and the Jews and the atheists and the agnostics and the Buddhists and all the people who are sitting in the circle of the interfaith dialogues. So what are we going to do, Imam Omar Sleeman? Well, he's a little bit smart, so we're not going to call it interfaith meeting, but we're going to call it a dialogue, a conversation, a discussion. About what? About nothing. What do you mean about nothing, Brother Usama? Exactly, that's what I mean. It's about nothing. Because so far, we're halfway in our study for this Veritas Forum, the Truth Forum. And so far, we do not know what Imam Omar Sleeman believes about anything. Why? Because if he tells you what he believes, you're not going to like him unless he's going to lie and make up a brand new Islam as he's successfully doing so far in our study. Imam Omar Sleeman ended this statement by telling us, but there are a lot of people who think that religion is a hindrance to societal cohesion. And that is 100% true for the people who know what Islam teaches. If you know the teaching of the Quran, Allah's words, and the commands of Muhammad in the Hadith, and how Muhammad lived his life, which is the noblest way for every Muslim believer to live, you will know that there is no way there is no hindrance in the savage cult of Islam, in any societal cohesion, and for the existence of our being here in this world. Yes, Islam as a savage cult is a hindrance to societal cohesion. There is no way we can survive in this world when Islam is in it. But the answer is coming in the following sentence. So I want you to listen carefully to Imam Omar Suleiman for giving us the solution. How are we going to fix the problem about religion as a hindrance for societal cohesion? So please listen carefully to Imam Omar.
Not if we do more of this. Because if we can teach people that despite our, I mean, my purpose in life.
So the answer for the problem of religion, which is obviously Islam, being a hindrance to societal cohesion is this. What? He said, not if we do more of this. What is this? The dialogue, which is actually an interfaith. Let us all pretend that we have no differences. How do I know that? Listen carefully to what Imam Omar Suleiman said. He said, because if we can teach people that despite our, and then he did not finish the word, despite our what? How about if I fill in the blank for you, my dear friends? Despite our differences. You see, that is the beauty of the interface meeting or the dialogue. So far, I did not hear Pastor J.D. Greer or Pastor Kevin Singer mention any objection. They did not say, Imam Omar, that's not what we believe. Imam Omar, that's not what the Quran teach. Imam Omar, that's not Islam. Imam Omar, are you sure that's what you really believe? They never have any objection because they are ignoring the differences. And that is the beauty of having dialogue. That is the beauty of having interfaith meeting. You will never attend any interfaith meeting in any city in the 50 states of the United States of America, and you see people leaving the meeting upset or angry because in these meetings, they don't talk about differences. They talk about anything else but what they believe and the differences concerning what they believe. Not like in a Baptist business meeting or any of the other church denomination business meeting where people literally almost eating each other. Why? Because they disagree. Disagree about some ridiculous things. And the reasons for why we have disagreement in our churches, in the same denomination where Christians believe in the same thing, can go on and on and on. But in the interfaith meeting, having a Muslim imam with a Jewish rabbi, with a Christian priest or some wacko Christian liberal minister, and the Buddhist and the atheist, all of them can have a wonderful meeting. And they leave the meeting with joyful hearts and smiles all over their faces. You know why? Once again, because they don't talk about the differences, ignore the differences, and that is how the devil can sneak into the church. Because the last organization the devil would love to destroy is the church. If Pastor J.D. Greer and many like him will continue to meet with Muslim jihadi like Imam Omar Suleiman, trust me, this will be the end of the existence of the church in America, and that will bring the destruction of the United States of America. Because that's exactly what Imam Omar is looking for in this meeting or any other meeting by any other name.
Have you always wanted to read exactly what the Quran teaches, but didn't know which translation you could trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugar-coated the violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After years of careful translation, with assistance from scholars around the globe, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry is pleased to offer the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever produced. This study Quran is packed with valuable resources such as detailed study notes for the reader, comments and references regarding the many errors and contradictions in the Quran, careful comparisons with biblical accounts borrowed and corrupted by Muhammad, information regarding the original sources that Muhammad adopted, highlights of non-Arabic words and idioms within the text of the Quran, a detailed table of biblical prophecies about Jesus, and a clear presentation of the evidence for the Bible with a powerful gospel invitation. This modern English translation will equip you with the knowledge you need to reach those lost in the darkness of Islam. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. the Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. Please contact us at 941-223-1703. And now, back to our show.
Once again, listen carefully to his words and the rest of his last segment in this point.
Not if we do more of this, because if we can teach people that despite our, I mean, my purpose in life revolves around Islam. Islam is at the core of my identity. It is at the center of my identity, right?
And I didn't know that.
You didn't know that, huh? The Kufi didn't give it away.
It all comes together now.
It all makes sense. You know, that's at the core of my identity, and Christianity, and a very particular expression of Christianity, is at the core of your identity. And so the thing is that if we can teach people how to talk across those differences and actually find common ground, find similarities, and include each other in at least getting people out of the manufactured human hells on earth that are manufactured by agendas of greed, I think that we can do a lot better, and we can actually teach our society ways to move forward.
Well, let us analyze all that we heard so far. Imam Omar Sleiman is giving the answer for the problem about religion to be a problem to have a unity in the society. How are we going to do that? He said, in simple words, we need to have more of these propaganda meetings. And in these meetings, we can brainwash the people of America, especially the conservative Christians, who believe that Christianity is the only way to heaven through Jesus Christ. And then we will have no problem anymore in the world. We're going to ignore our differences. And then he's telling us openly, you know, the purpose of my life revolves around Islam. Islam is the core of my identity. It is the center of my identity. And so far, we have no clue what he is talking about. Can you tell me? If I tell you Imam Omar Sleiman breathes Islam, he drinks Islam, he eats Islam, he walks Islam. What is Islam? So far, you have no clue what I'm talking about. Because unless you study the Quran, then you cannot tell what Imam Omar is all about. Unless you have read the commands of Muhammad in the Hadith, until then, you have no clue how evil Islam is. And Imam Omar is a victim of the ideology of Islam. I'm not saying that Imam Omar himself is an evil person. No, Islam uses him and causes him to do everything evil, including that smile which he's sharing right now with his audience, including that sweet, soft talk, which if you hear him without knowing anything about Islam, it will lead you to fall in love with Imam Omar Sleiman. But the more you know about Islam, like I do, the more you get angry inside you. Why? Because you know that there is deception there. That creature who dressed like a doctor, who talked like a doctor, is simply a fox who is doing everything he can to get inside the chicken house so he can chew on the living chickens, as we have seen it many times in cartoons. As little children, we can tell it's a fox because you see the tail coming out of the pants which he's wearing. But the rest of the chicken cannot see the tail. And that is the reality of how ugly Islam is. They are wolves who are dressed like sheep. Why? Because he covers himself with these soft words, with these sweet sentences. And this makes people fall in love with him unless you know the deception of Islam. And the proof of my point is this. Here we go, Pastor Kevin and Pastor J.D. Greer, smiling, happy, joking, laughing about what he said. That's when he said the kufiya did not give it away. This is a piece of fabric the Muslim men put over their heads or around their necks. It is a coat of dress for Muslim men. We as Christians in Egypt were not allowed to wear it under the belt of Omar, as I shared with you in a previous program in this study, which separate us from the Muslims. We cannot wear the kufi. That piece of fabric we cannot put around the neck. So, if Muslims would like to hunt us in the future, we are known by how we dressed, as we dress differently than the Muslims. Maybe that means nothing to you, but that is a sad story for the future of America. Imam Omar said Islam is the core of his identity. And then he said, and Christianity. And a particular expression of Christianity, that is the core of your identity. Why he did not say the same words about Islam? Why he did not say Islam and the particular expression of Sunni Muslim is what I am is all about? Oh, you see, he's trying to tell us that Muslims in the Muslim world are one, but Christians are different. He's sitting right now talking to two Baptists who are different than Methodist, who are different than Presbyterian or Catholic or whatever other denomination Christians belong to. But listen carefully to the following sentence. When Imam Omar said, the thing is that if we can teach people how to talk across these differences, excuse me, what? We need to talk across these differences. It is not a big deal that Jesus is not God, and it is not a big deal that he did not die on the cross and he never rose from the dead. Big deal that the Bible has been corrupted and changed. Forget about these differences. Big deal Muhammad was a child molester or a sex offender or a prophet pretender or a womanizer or an adulterer or a thief or a thug or a terrorist. Big deal about the Quran is the most savage book ever written for mankind. Big deal that Allah is Satan, who wishes nothing but to destroy and kill and to steal. Big deal. Let us ignore all these things. Is it really a big deal that Muslims are here to destroy America? And it is not a big deal that we have this meeting to deceive the people of the West using the best leaders of this country, the Southern Baptist ministers, literally to take over America. Ignore all that. Let's all get along. Let's all hold hands and sing the Kumbaya song. So what are we going to do, Imam Omar? We need to teach people how to talk across these differences and actually find common ground. What common ground? Once again, I challenge Imam Omar Sliman, and I challenge all the Muslims of planet Earth to show me one thing we have in common between Islam and Christianity. Once again, I'm not asking for two or three things we all agree on. One thing. Trust me, there is nada. Not one thing Islam and Christianity are in agreement on. So we're going to ignore the differences and find the common ground and find similarities. Once again, there is no common ground and there is no similarities between Islam and Christianity. And my challenge for any Muslim imam to show me one similarity between Islam and Christianity. It doesn't exist. Nothing, N-O-T-H-I-N-G, exists in Islam is similar to that which exists in Christianity. And then he said, and include each other in at least getting people out of the manufactured human hells on earth that are manufactured by agendas of greed. Ho, ho, ho. Really? If you're talking about hell on earth, we have seen hell on earth by Muslim believers, which Imam Omar Sliman belongs to, the Muslim Brotherhood. If you want to talk about hell on earth, let's see how many millions of Christians and Jews and others were killed in the last 1400 years by the Muslim believers, those who are practicing the teaching of the word of Allah in the Quran and the commands of Muhammad in the Hadith. If you want to know about hell on earth, let's read what Imam Omar and his followers, his bodies of the Muslim Brotherhood jihadi organizations, wrote in America for the long-term plan of the Muslim Brotherhood in North America. Their plan is to turn earth to hell for the Christians and anyone and everyone who reject Islam in the near future, here in America. Not in Saudi Arabia or Egypt, here in America. That is the hell on earth, which is coming to a city near you. And it is not manufactured. It's fact. It's truth. It is the word of Allah in the Quran. I don't believe there is any Muslim in the world who believes that the Quran is a manufactured written book, because all Muslims believe that the Quran is a perfect word of Allah. And the command of Muhammad is perfect without any errors. As Muslims believe, when Muhammad speaks, he never made any errors. He spoke the truth and nothing came out of his lips except the truth. Now it is time for the American people to learn about what Allah said and what Muhammad said for Imam Omar Sliman and for the rest of the Muslim believers to practice in the world, including here in America. And this have nothing to do with greed. This has something to do with Islam. Islam teaches that Muslims are superior over all mankind. And Christians and the Jews, by the way, are the worst of the creatures. Says who? Says Allah in the Quran. And says who? Says Muhammad in the Hadith. And here is the conclusion, my friends, for our program for today. By having these dialogue meetings all over America, Imam Omar said he thinks that we can do a lot better and we can actually teach our society ways to move forward. What is he talking about here? He's talking about boiling the frog. We're going to continue to do these meetings all over America as we slowly heat the water. And trust me, when the water gets to the point of boiling, the frog will die and Muslims then will gain the whole world. This is it. These meetings are the work of the devil. I can only imagine the devil speaking to Mother Eve in the garden. And he asks the first question, did God say? And she answers, no, he did not say. And then as the conversation went on, as Eve reached out by her hand to cut the fruit from the tree, as Eve ate from the tree, the devil smiled. And as Eve gave the fruit of the tree to her husband, who ate as well, then the devil laughed. Ha 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 ha. It's too late. It's over. Man has fallen into sin. That's exactly what Imam Omar is looking for from these interfaith meetings. And he will not use the title because he knows, as we have heard them today, that these words make people nervous. So what are we going to call it? Let's call it something else. As the devil always does, he will not call sin by its name. He will give it a nickname. And what is the nickname for interfaith meeting? It is dialogue meeting. You tell me, what do people do in the interfaith meeting? They talk. What do people do in the dialogue meetings? They talk. And that's how we know that there is no difference between interfaith meetings and dialogue meetings. It is the work and the deception of the devil to lead people to accept Islam and to bring this dangerous unity between Muslims and Christians to the societal cohesion. And to continue our study of United We Fall, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.